Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
It's that time of night, you can't stay uptight. So come and join the people and I'm feeling all right. Here on Overnight America. Overnight America.
Oh yeah, Overnight America continues, at least live for one more hour. Then after midnight, we got a couple of recorded replay hours. We'll replay the first 2 hours of the show. A lot to get to in the last hour, but I've had so many guests on, I haven't really given you the opportunity to call in. So here's your time to see if the phone is still working at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Your phone at this point, let's see, 11:07 p.m. in St. Louis, Missouri. You've probably got about 42% left on your phone's battery. Just guessing, about 42% if you haven't plugged it in yet already today. I want to just get a couple of clips from COVID. There's been still a lot of discussions on this, reopening schools, not reopening schools. Even Governor Parson was in D.C. talking to President Trump about this yesterday and became some national news. Opening schools becomes the big question, the big debate of what's going to be happening next. And I think that's where everyone is still trying to figure out their comfort level. Are you ready to open up schools? Are you someone that believes we have to open up schools? 314-436-7900. Or 800-925-1120. Betsy DeVos.
Ultimately, it's not a matter of if schools should reopen. It's simply a matter of how. They must fully open, and they must be fully operational. And how that happens is best left to education and community leaders.
Yep. We're still looking and trying to push. President Trump, we know, has pushed, trying to make sure schools reopen. Some states have gone through their own individual cases and how we're going to look at it. Even here locally in the county, they came out with some guidelines. I'm not sure the city has come out with those guidelines yet. But what does it look like when schools reopen up? And how do you protect teachers? That's become a pretty big story at KMOX.com. Let's look at Vice President Pence.
What we heard again yesterday from education officials and what we heard from the American Academy of Pediatrics, it's absolutely essential that we get our kids back into classroom for in-person learning. We can't let our kids fall behind academically.
Yeah. Is there any doubt that mentally kids have been having a hard time with all of this? Is there any doubt that this would be bad for them if we held them out of school? The health aspect of it, if you look at it statistically speaking and just looking at the trends, they are at the very lowest risk of not only contracting this where they would need medical attention, but also becoming ill and to the point where they would need to hospital stay or anything like that. Now, the teachers are, on the other hand, that's a whole different story. Now, the way the teachers are going to have to protect themselves, they're the ones most likely to be put into risk. So opening up these schools, it's not necessarily for the kids. Maybe it's looking at it from the teacher's standpoint on if they can open it, not open it back up. Let's get a couple more clips here. Okay. CDC Robert Redfield on the kids and COVID.
Clearly, the ability of this virus to cause significant illness in children is very, 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 very limited. We know of the post-immune inflammatory disease that you've heard about, but it's very rare. But in general, this virus does not cause significant illness in children. Secondly, and I think it's important, unlike influenza, where one of our biggest concerns is we've been able to show that it's really schools and children that become the instrument of transmission throughout our community with influenza, we really don't have evidence that children are driving the transmission cycle of this.
Okay. So we need to take all of these things into consideration. They're not driving the transmission side of this. That's interesting, too. You can control a lot inside of a school, right? You can control where the kids sit, how they go through the hallways, where they eat, how they play, things like that. It is very beneficial for a kid's development, a young kid's development, that they have that atmosphere. Like my son, who's going to be going into kindergarten next month, that's something he's really looking forward to. He doesn't know any different. To them, it's going to be brand new, and it's going to be the new normal for him. He's not going to know. Now, if you're in high school, a whole different story. You know, you're used to a certain thing, and then you have to go back, and all of a sudden, they're telling you got to do it this way, and there's a threat. Oh, we need you to stay at home. You're not going to have the same educational experience, period. Not a chance. Same thing with colleges. You're not going to have the same educational experience. Not even close. You know, if you wanted to do University of Phoenix, you do University of Phoenix. But what in the world are you going to do if they say you can't go back to your college campus and go to the classes and have access to your professor and do all of these things and then still try to charge you the same amount? Not going to happen. Schools, they got to take that into consideration, too. They are not online educators first. But do they want to turn themselves into that? I don't see that being the main driving force of our education in the future. Because part of what we're looking at is, what if this threat, this virus threat, lingers past next year and into 2021 and into the next school year, and then we're still trying to figure this out? Or maybe there's not an effective vaccine. Or the best we can do is continue to wash our hands and distance, and we have to do this an extended time. Are we going to just put school indefinitely on hold? No, you can't. I think what you have to do is find a way for it to work, and that's the way they have to do it. Let's see. President Trump had another one. And President Trump and Dr. Fauci seem to be disagreeing on a few things. Maybe I'll do that after the break. Looks like Lee is on the line. Welcome to Overnight America, Lee.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm a public school teacher of K through 12 language arts. I taught 33 years in the public and parochial schools.
Mm-hmm. K through 12 is that's like a big stretch. I mean, so many different types of students in that stretch.
Yes, sir, to say the least. I had several Bosnian students that refused to make a comment because the one child who was assigned to fifth grade was only a third grader, so he refused to make a comment because he didn't want to sound silly or stupid.
Oh, interesting. Well, what's your thoughts on reopening school?
There's no question about it. It needs to be reopened. And like I was telling the commentator before, that all they have to do is insist on taking, quote, the temperature at the beginning of the day and about every 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And that should be adequate.
Every 3 hours? You think that would be necessary? So like the halfway point of the school day, they would just reapply and take another temperature check?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
They need socialization process.
Yeah, we're lucky to be living in 2020. So how long have you been a school teacher?
33 years.
Okay, imagine how they would take their temperature 33 years ago.
Well, we never had that problem, needless to say, since I taught from approximately 1970 to almost 2003.
Yeah. Okay, probably better that we have different methods to take temperatures. Okay, so reopen the schools. Are you retired or are you currently still teaching?
No, I'm retired. My sister still is teaching after 30 years herself, in special and regular. It's Hancock as well as South County Tech.
Yeah, they may call on you. It sounds like they may need some extra help, so be ready to substitute, I guess.
I'm ready.
Lee, very good. Thank you for calling in. Good to hear from you. Here's the phone number, 314-436-7900. Okay, that's kind of a cheap joke, sure. But, you know, 33 years ago, think about how they used to take temperatures. Imagine trying to do that at school today. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
This is really your time. We really spent so much time on interviews the first couple of hours that I didn't get a time to hear from you. So this is it. 314 436-7900. Let me play this real quick before we get to Dave, who's holding the line. But Vice President Pence gave an update on the COVID fight.
We are focused on the states where more than half of the new cases have arisen, Texas, Arizona, Florida, and California, and have received encouraging reports even through this morning. Strong supplies of PPE in hospitals. Hospital capacity remains strong. The one need that we did hear from governors across the region is for personnel. And over the last week, working through FEMA, the Department of Defense, and HHS, we've been processing requests to deploy over 1,070 doctors and nurses and medical personnel.
Let's go to Dave, who's holding the line. Welcome to Overnight America.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
You know, though, by the way, those interviews are really good. I thought they were very informative.
Oh, yeah. So, anyone that you liked more than others?
No, I think every one of them had their own subject matter, and they were very informative about what they talked about, you know.
And, yeah, well, that's good. I'm glad you liked it. And, you know, we do get some pretty good interview and guests that are pitched to us. Sometimes we get some pretty bad guests. But I'm lucky. Anyone that would be willing to stay up late and be live on the show, I'm very happy for that. Because, you know, if you consider 10 o'clock for us is maybe 11 o'clock for them on the East Coast, it makes things difficult. But they still stay up late to be on the show. So that's a good sign.
Oh, yeah. And it shows kind of respect for you and, well, KMOX and stuff like that, you know. But, yeah, like the guy on the legal sense of all that stuff going on, you know, and so anyway, but I just want to point out something. You know, I'm an old geezer, but and when I go out, I do wear a mask and all that kind of stuff. But listen, the kids, the way our society has been made up now is men and women both work, and it has the schools become a place to put your kids while you're at work, you know. Yeah,
that's
it's really
point.
Become that way. And in the old days, the man only worked and the woman stayed at home, and there was never a problem, you know. But anyway, that's a point there. But as far as it goes with, you know, you could do spacing and, have, you know, you, to a certain extent you can wear a mask. But you get to younger kids, I can't see them wearing masks too long.
Well, going to the school and everything, it wouldn't be necessary. Like, even if you look at the way stores and some of the laws require, under a certain age, you don't have to worry about the mask. It's only after, was it 9 years old or something, like 8 years old?
Yeah.
So some school kids wear them, some wouldn't. I think a lot of it just has to do with finding ways to move them around the school so they're not all in the hallways at the same time, so you're limiting traffic that way. You know, I heard that some of them are going to do lunches inside the classroom as opposed to a cafeteria. You know, sometimes people will get out at a certain bell and others will have to wait, things like that. So, I mean, there are things that they're trying to do for their protection. And I don't know. I don't know if that is the worst thing that could happen to kids. The worst thing is to make them sit at home. And you're right about the other side of things. All the things that schools do offer children to take that away from them, it's going to be very difficult for parents to make that up on their own.
Yeah, you know, and it's like this. We can't. We could end up dying from starving ourselves to death because we shut down our society, okay? And no more work for anybody, and the government tries to pay it off and things like that. Anyway, because we're so afraid of dying of COVID, you know what I mean? So I say, the heck with it. You deal with the problem, but you can. We can wait till, you know. I mean, this is something that the communists came up with. They tried SARS, and it didn't work too well, and I think this is their second chance here, another or maybe third or fourth. How many things we get from that Chinese communist government? Anyway, but they, you know, we just got to deal with the problem and be wise about it, and then what happens, happens, you know. I mean, if I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't. Anybody.
Yeah. We get a trade imbalance and a virus every couple of years, so that's not a great thing.
You can't stop living. You can't stop living just because you're afraid to die of COVID. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I
know
living.
What you mean. Yeah, I know what you mean. Dave, thank you very much
for
calling
in. By the way.
Good to hear from you. And part of that is a lot of the fear that is stoked inside of social media and, you know, a lot of the very left-leaning media news sites that continue to report on it as if it's the, you know, as if it's a zombie apocalypse. And they stoke this and they stoke this and stoke this to the point where they make it sound like you are irresponsible for even wanting to leave your home. and you're irresponsible to go out and try to do anything. And they keep doing this, and they keep pushing it even further. And, you know, they probably call you racist for doing it, too. I don't know. Everything under the sun to them is racist. So you get that, and you discount it, and you don't think of them as serious anymore. You know, it's the boy who cried wolf syndrome. So even if they do report something that is accurate and true, it's automatically discounted because of all the times that they've tried to pull this garbage, this nonsense rhetoric stuff on you to begin with. It's they've put themselves into this hole that most people just don't trust them, and rightfully so, they shouldn't be trusted. So that's the thing. They go out there and they say these things. It's the end of the world as we know it, and you know, the only thing to save you is the government giving you more money all the time, 24/7. You'll let the government take care of this, and we need to do this and do that. And but oh yeah, by the way, if you're out there protesting, then by all means, ignore everything we say, so you don't have to worry about that. Then this is only for the people that aren't protesting out there, because somehow the virus magically doesn't apply to them in those large group settings. 314-436-7900. A couple of more clips from today. Dr. Fauci.
It's a false narrative to take comfort in a lower rate of death. There's so many other things that are very dangerous and bad about this virus. Don't get yourself into false complacency.
Okay. I get that. But this is a data point that is a pretty important data point. And the reason for that is because from the very start, the whole idea of not overloading the hospitals and what is the care that we need in order to treat this. So do we have better treatment methods? Do we have the ability to treat those that need it? And both of those answers right now are yes. Now, don't get a false complacency when it comes to the mortality rate. Sure, I get that. But it's just another data point that we do track, which, by the way, I'm not sure your friends over at MSNBC and them, maybe not Fauci's friends, but in general, MSNBC would agree with you, because they pretty much keep that as a stock ticker. They'll won't tell you when the Dow Jones does well, but man, they'll let you know what the latest number is on something like this. Let's play a couple of more. How about Dr. Birx? I haven't heard from her in a while.
To all of the Americans out there that are in these four states and the states that have, in the report, we're in the red zone because there's a series of other states that we have in that zone, is really asking the American people in those counties and in those states to not only use the face coverings, not going to bars, not going to indoor dining, but really not gathering in homes either, and decreasing those gatherings back down to our phase one recommendation, which was 10 or less.
Okay. 10 or less, keeping that in mind, which is a difficult thing. As I mentioned, I'm going up to a friend's wedding, and he had to make a lot of sacrifices. They had to cut down the amount of people that'll be at the wedding. They're going to have to space them out properly. And they had to make the hard decision that we can't do the reception now because we can't put that many people into the same room together. You know, the church is one thing where they're doing the wedding, but the reception and everyone sharing utensils and, you know, things like that, they said, we're going to have to delay that for a year. It was a tough thing for him. You know, he was really looking forward to this, him and his bride. So it just changed everything. Let's go to Tom. Welcome to Overnight America.
Yeah, just a quick comment. Basically, what all this is doing is trying to convince everybody that they need to vote from home, mail-in voting. You know, they say no fraud, but we all know that's not true, because it's I'm in here in St. Louis, we had a very big problem downtown with an election where they realized they had voter fraud. So, and it was overturned, and, you know, they finally, you know, got it done. But if it's done here on small scale, I can imagine how big the scale it will change. So that's just my comment. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Tom. So maybe this is just a long con for to try to steal the election. It's so funny. Back in 2016, the Democrats were just harking on that. Oh, he's trying to steal the election. Da, da, da. That's all they wanted to do. Oh, the Russians stealing the election. Oh, the Russian interference. Da, da, da. So you want to move to a method which would make it a lot easier to interfere and steal an election. It seems counterproductive, or maybe they got a pretty good insight on how they could be able to use that to their advantage. I'm very leery when it comes to changing the way that we vote outside of polling places. Extremely leery. 314-436-7900 on Overnight America, KMOX.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. News Radio 1120 KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
Welcome back to Overnight America. So I have a few more clips I want to do, but you know, if you go to KMOX.com, you can see this. Missouri teachers concerned about contracting COVID-19, asking if they can force students to wear masks. I wonder if it's mostly older students, younger students. Yeah, that will change a lot of how we conduct classes this year. I think a lot of people are wondering what that's going to look like as the different areas and school districts are putting together a plan, and considering we're about a month away from that happening, ooh, month and a half away of that happening. Let's go to Terry calling in. Welcome to Overnight America.
Hey, Ryan, how are you?
Good, very good.
I haven't talked to you in a while. Well, I don't know if I'm on topic, but I want to touch on something that's really bothering me right now.
Okay, what's that?
Do you know that movie, The Shining?
Yeah, so the Jack Nicholson movie from the 70s, maybe? I don't know what year, but yes.
Yeah, I was born in 70, yes. It was the 70s. And Shelley Duvall, but yes. Do you remember, I don't know if you know that movie well, but do you know that the house went nuts in his house?
Wait, say that again. The plot, and I haven't seen it in a long time, but yeah, I kind of remember all the things that happened.
They went to, I believe it was Colorado, and they went to stay at a hotel. And then this hotel is famous. I don't know the name of it. I'm sitting here saying all of these things, but these are true facts. Mm-hmm. This movie, this hotel, he went and he kept it for a winter.
Right.
And he went stupid out of his mind.
Right.
And he went crazy on his family.
Right.
He lost his mind. Mm-hmm. So this is what's happening right now. Like,
people are having a hard time. Yeah, that people are definitely having a hard time.
The sad thing is at first I was having fun. I was cooking. And now I'm having a very, very difficult time.
Mm. What is there something preventing you from going out wearing a mask, things like that?
No, of course I wear a mask. I mean, I have to now because I'm made to. I resisted it before because I thought it was ridiculous. That's just my opinion. I think that the more you get germs, the more you build up immunity, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah. Are you working at all?
No, I'm not. No, okay. Because you can't get a job right now. You can't, even if I wanted to work, I can't get a job.
Are you living with someone?
What's that?
Are you living with anyone right now?
Unfortunately, yes, I am. Okay. Very soon to be, I'm homeless, actually, I mean, to be quite honest.
You're gonna
again.
back again. Mm. No, how do you know the person that you are, you're living with?
I met him on the street.
Okay, so you guys are sharing an area, apartment or something like that?
Yeah. Okay, I am threatened to be, on a daily basis, I am threatened to be kicked out and told that I need, this is my home. So, no, I'm not secure and a place to stay. No, I'm not.
Well, how long has it been since you've lived on the street?
Oh, gosh, maybe 5 months.
5 months, okay.
Yeah, I lived on the streets. I'm 50 now. I'm going to be 50 in September. And I've been struggling homelessness since I was 40.
So how did you find this place and this person to live with?
This is through, I don't know that I wanted 30 names out there, but you can.
No, it's fine. Just an organization connected you. Is that what happened?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Can this organization connect you with someone else or help you?
it's through St. Patrick's.
Okay. Can they help you though? Would they be able
help
to
me? No. I don't know. I can't get the help. He's older than me and he gets more help than I do. I can't get help. And I can't even get shelter. All the shelters are full.
Yeah. No, it's not a good time. You know, the stuff that the city says that there's beds for everyone that wants them. You find that these certain homeless encampments that happen downtown, they're just trying to find a place. And a lot of times the justification of the city to break these up is that, oh, we have a bed. We got beds all over the place, as if there's a bed extravaganza going on. But really, they're spread out all across the city. No one knows where they are, if they're available. And anytime someone that actually tries to request this that is homeless, they're turned away because a lot of these places are full by the time they get there and they have no idea where else to go. Not much in the way of communication. And as we talked to Larry Rice about this, when we're in the middle of this COVID, you want to talk about cleanliness, how difficult it is for them to stay up on their hygiene so they're not spreading this stuff. I mean, it's a very at-risk population for something like that. Terry, are you still there? No? Okay, Terry's not there. All right. Terry, hopefully, maybe you can try again, St. Patrick's. Reach out to some of these organizations and see what they can do. I'm hoping that there's someone out there that can help you. And it's hot out. It's not great time. I think the summer's probably better to be outside than the winter. And you hate hearing that. 314-436-7900. Listen, we got a lot of issues in the city of St. Louis. We have major, major, major crime issues. We have kids getting shot in the middle of the street. We have people that are violent offenders getting cycled back out to commit more violent crimes. We have a circuit attorney that has a terrible track record. So many questions about if she's competent enough for this job, let alone if she's even putting any effort into this, because it's more political and more social based than it is actually filling the role of the job and what's necessary to help this city. And then you also have the homeless issue. That's a whole different type of thing. We got all kinds of issues in the city of St. Louis. Just breaks your heart. And what do we do? We worry about harassing people that are standing on their land trying to defend their home when a mob comes by it. That's like the number one issue all of a sudden from the circuit attorney. And what else do we run out in problems into? We also run into, we should change the name of St. Louis. Like, that's the biggest issue that we're facing here. Get out of town. We got problems, man. Let's go to Larry. Welcome to Overnight America.
Wow, that was a great news update you gave on the city. I would check, like, Z, all of the above.
We got a lot of issues. Yes,
Z, all of the above. So I watch Tucker Carlson every night. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of Tucker Carlson. I refer to the Republicans. There's a lot of Republicans that are Democrats, but there's no Democrats that are Republicans.
Interesting.
So on Tucker Carlson tonight, the last pardon that Bill Clinton offered when he was president was to a woman who was basically a terrorist. She was involved in a shooting where two police officers and a security guard were killed in New York City. She was given 58 years. Her sentence was 58 years. Bill Clinton commuted her in 16 years. Okay.
Okay.
Guess
I don't know that story.
Guess what her job is now?
Oh, boy. What is it?
She is a fundraiser for Black Lives Matter.
Really? This is what Tucker did as part
terrorist, of it? I want people to hear this. Another terrorist organization. It has nothing to do with Black Lives Matter. If it did, they'd be in Chicago, where every weekend they have 100 shootings. This is just a facade. These people are going after our government. They're anarchist. They don't like American government. They don't like our statues. They don't like capitalism, They don't like freedom. They want it their way. And if they can't have it their way, they will burn everything down that they can get their hands on. And Kim Gardner needs to be voted out of office. She's spineless. Thank you.
Thank you, Valerie. Good to hear from you. I honestly think that she has a pretty good chance of losing her ability to practice law in Missouri. I'm still holding out hope that through certain investigations, they find out through improper channels that she has conducted herself in, including the Greitens investigation, that comes back and bites her. Somehow her license becomes suspended, and that means that Governor Parson can come in and replace her. I think that would be the best thing to happen. So she's definitely not a saint at all. And I think all of these things that will come back to haunt her will. I still see that as a major possibility. If not, vote her out of office. That is a certainty. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
I'm going to take a couple more of your calls before we say good night. The replay hour is coming up after midnight. That kind of rhymed. Let's go to Jimmy. Welcome to Overnight America.
Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Here's the bottom line. What people don't understand is the meaning of life to be lived, to wake up in the morning. If you want to know what problems are, look at St. Louis Children's Hospital. Now, I know I got a little bit of a buzz on here, but the bottom line is what I'm trying to explain is that there are no problems. Our problems are self-made of our mentality about, I should have this, I should have that. Get up, whatever your situation is, work, you need help, call for help. We're all good people. We're all Christian. We all love one another. You should do that. When a person's got a problem, homeless, whatever, we don't deal with it in the right way. We look away. We really do. And that's the truth. There's more to what I could say, but I haven't got enough time on the air to say this. And I want to say something to you, young man. Thank you very much for letting me speak what I feel from my heart.
You got it, Jimmy. Have a great night. Thank you for calling in. Little buzzed, huh? A lot of these problems are connected. It's connected when we have kids getting shot. It's connected when we have so much unrest that a circuit attorney, through whatever means necessary, tries to push some sort of agenda before justice. We have an economic problem where we have large companies that don't want to come here, yet people moving away, because how many decades in a row of terrible crime do you need before you wake up that this is not working? Yeah, you're right. On a personal level, we have so many other things to be blessed for, knowing that we have our health or maybe these other things, and some people are not as lucky as us in that standpoint. I do agree with that, and it's a good way to put some things into perspective. Oh, Terry calling back. Hello, Terry.
Hey, Ryan. Sorry, I think that I said something wrong before, and I thought my phone had died. And
okay, I gotcha.
So I apologize.
Oh, that's good. So,
can I touch on what that last guy said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that I do believe in gratitude. I believe in on gratitude. I do believe in that. But I also think that he's wrong in the fact that we have to be thankful for waking up, really. Mm-hmm. It comes down to something like that. But not everything is brought on by ourselves. A lot of things are out of our control. Mm-hmm. And I think that he is very, very wrong. He had a buzz on, whatever, but a lot of things are out of our control. I live am living proof of it. I am living proof of it. I'm going to, gosh, doggone, be stupid old this year. I'm old now. And I have lived a very difficult life. And I've struggled. And it's not because I'm lazy. It's not because that I don't want it. It's not because I'm not kind-hearted. Because I'm the most kind-hearted person that you could ever meet.
Well, I got an idea, Terry. Let's do this. And one thing that is for true, there's a lot of people listening tonight that believe in the power of prayer. Anyone listening right now, I want you to say a prayer for Terry tonight, and we'll see if we could make a difference here based on the things that you're saying. Maybe we can bring some good things your way. Terry, we got to go, but thank you so much for calling back in tonight. A couple hours of the replay, and please don't forget to pray for Terry tonight. It's Overnight America. We'll see you tomorrow.
My heart beats with the lonely rain, wishing I could see your face again. Change the dial on the radio, find something playing kind of bluesy and slow. If things were only like they used to be, we'd be lying in love tonight. I wish you'd call me on the telephone. I don't want to spend another night alone, sleeping with the radio on. It's the only way I can make it till dawn. Sleeping with the radio on, you're on my mind, and I can't forget you. Let's take the rest of the day to get it back together, and I'll unplug the telephone. Now that you're here, I'm gonna
back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.